Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in the next couple of segments, we'll start with our first impression roses for this week's NFL slate. So if you don't follow The Bachelor, it's kind of our spin on which games caught our eye instantly when we opened up our BetMGM apps. Now, Wednesdays normally aren't my favorite day of the week, but we have all day postseason baseball today on the schedule. Next segment, we'll break down all of our favorite divisional round matchups, all coming up next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenk, so since we're doing like a bachelor-type spin on our favorite reads in the NFL when it comes to betting, I feel like I always think of Jesse Palmer when it comes to The Bachelor because I am fascinated by his career arc. As somebody who started as a quarterback at the University of Florida and was pretty damn good, and then he went on The Bachelor, and although he did not eventually marry the girl that he picked, he had a long career in broadcasting, and he's still there, where he still does college football, I believe, for ESPN. He does all these baking shows on the Food Network, and he even hosts The Bachelor, and I think he does Bachelor in Paradise. I never saw this coming, but I always wonder this. Do you think we'll see more crossover between professional athletes and these dating shows? Because these dating shows are absolutely everywhere. Like, these are like the new hot reality TV shows where everybody wants to watch them. I do think when it comes to what's the one that everybody watches? Love Island?
Love Island,
I don't know if we'll see like professional athletes on that just because they have to be there so long. But I feel like there's really not that many professional athletes who have gone the ranks of, like, dating shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that they don't need to, right? Like, if you're a professional athlete,
Instagram.
Yeah, you just have to show up. Let's be honest. If you're a pro athlete and you make money and you're out there, you are going to generate interest. Some of that interest is genuine. Mm-hmm. Some of it is not. You don't have to promote yourself. Maybe if you're B or C list athlete, but if you're an A list athlete, you don't have to do anything. You just got to be out there because the league is going to promote you or you're going to promote you and everyone's going to know who you are. So you don't need the extra promotion. You don't need to spend your time on some sort of show where you're probably not going to get paid or maybe going to get paid, whatever. It's not worth your time. You don't need it. So why even waste your time with it?
Yeah, usually it feels like when they have, like, quote-unquote NFL players, it's
right.
Like guys who are on the practice squad. Like, they did this with Colton on The Bachelor.
Where
Oh, he's a former football player. And it's like, yeah, he was on the practice squad, which is not easy to do. Like, he was still probably a good football player because the NFL is tough to get to. But, like, that's not his profession. Like, that's what he did before. That's not his current profession. But I will say Travis Kelce did have a dating show. Jenks, do you remember this? Catching Kelce?
Oh, God. I'd forgotten about that. What a career. Yeah, it is crazy to think about. And now, all we hear, who would have thought that back then is that, you know what? I bet one day he marries Taylor Swift and she'll make a song about his junk.
Right?
I mean, what an actual story arc. I would have never guessed that back then. But here we are.
Right, he went from, like, girls who were probably just trying to chase, like, reality TV fame that really didn't have any type of career to, like, the ultimate career woman to where if he wanted to sit back and relax and be a stay-at-home husband, he absolutely could. So congratulations, Travis Kelce, on all of your success on the football field and off the field as well. All right, Jenks, let's pick some winners when it comes to the NFL. So we call this segment our first impression roses. So normally this is kind of how my process goes, is I look at the slate and I kind of see which games kind of jump out to me. And then we investigate further. So if everything lines up, then I will make a bet. But certain games, you look at the number and immediately you're just like, no, that's not going to play. Don't love the number, don't love the team. There is some factor where immediately I think this is not a game I'm going to bet on. So when you open the slate for these week of games, who got the first impression, Rose, for you?
Well, I would say I like the Broncos a lot in London against the Jets. Mm. Like, it's at 7.5. I might play it at 7. But this is more of the eye test than anything else. Like, let me ask you a question. If you strip all the numbers away, can you make a case for the Jets at all? Like, just looking at them, this is a bad football team. Like, sometimes you just see all you need to see. And what I see with the Jets is a team that is now 0-5, okay? And that's a big deal, because when you get to a certain point in the season where you probably should have had a win, could have had a win at this point, they've had their chances, they've blown those chances, and now you're sitting at 0-5, rot starts to take hold, right? Like, when are we going to get a dub? Maybe we're not.
I just smelled that.
Yeah, you can smell, like, oh, the Jet. What is that? Is that the Jets with the TV? Is that the Jets? Did the Jets, they stink that bad. And I like Aaron Glenn a lot, but Justin Fields hasn't been as good as I thought he was going to be this season. And also, the Broncos are so rock solid on defense. That's what I wonder. How are the Jets going to move the ball? The Broncos are, what, fifth in the NFL against the run? Yeah, that's right. Fifth in total defense, fifth against the run. What does that mean? Justin Fields' passing game against Patrick Surtain in that secondary? Like, this could be 13-0, and the Broncos could cover. And maybe it will be. I would lean towards the under, but more than anything, I think you just fade the Jets until you see otherwise, because they stink. They stink.
Well, here's the problem. Like, I've trusted the Jets before, and they made me look stupid. Because I
yeah,
feel like there are things to like on the Jets. Like, Aaron Glenn, I like him. Justin Fields can be electric. And Breece Hall is good. And we were told that this defense was going to be great, and it's not. They gave up 37 points to the Cowboys, gave up 27 to the Dolphins, 29 to the Bucks, and 30 to the Bills. So when you look at them from a covering perspective, they have only covered in one game. I believe that was that game against the Bucks, where it took a blocked kick and it to be returned for a touchdown for them to cover that number. So something that doesn't feel very repeatable. I will say on the Broncos end of things that they have played some bad teams kind of closely. Like the first game of the season against my Titans. And maybe that is, you know, first game of the year, jitters, maybe it's rust. Because I will say this. Bo Nix has looked better as the season has progressed. Mm-hmm. And he's still a young quarterback. And 7.5 is a lot of points. Isn't that the line in this game? Yeah, 7.5. And it is overseas, where sometimes we see chaos afoot. But I still just can't make a case for the Jets. Like, that's the bottom line. Like, maybe there's a sabotage factor for the Broncos and the fact that it's 7.5 points. But, like, the Jets have gotten absolutely smoked by good teams. You know, lost to the Bills in a divisional matchup, 30-10. So I am not going to be making a case for the Jets ever. All right, so for me, let's look at a divisional matchup. And Jinx, I feel like you have had the stones to bet on the Browns before the season. And I am not saying that the Browns are a good team, but 5 points in a divisional matchup where the total is 38.5. How do we feel about the Browns this week?
Ugh. I like the Steelers. I like the Steelers here. Like, the Browns are so bad. And here's the thing. Like, the Steelers have had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. It's kind of a dead number, sitting there at 5, right? So I think maybe the under is the play, but I think I'm a big proponent of, if you like a team to cover and they've had an extra week in the NFL, it matters in a big way. So this Steelers defense getting to lick its chops against Dylan Gabriel, who I feel like looked actually pretty good last week, like pretty decent, like a nice start for him in a Browns uniform. But just like we saw with Jackson Dart, just like you see with rookies all the time, you'll look good initially, but you're still a rookie, and success is never in a straight line, and it'll be like one step forward, two steps back, and then you sort of, you know, slowly, hopefully progress as a starter. So I think this could be the week where Gabriel struggles and where the Steelers sort of have their way with them. I believe this is up from 4.5, so the money is coming in on Steelers and could get to 6 as well. I like Pittsburgh here.
I think for me it's more about the Cleveland defense and their ability to keep this game in a rock fight situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because the total's 38.5, and I do think that maybe the Steelers are ready for like a sell high situation, because the Steelers have looked pretty good. You know, they're leading the AFC North. And I do think when it comes to divisional games, especially in the AFC North, these are the games that usually play a lot closer to the vest. So that's why it kind of stood out to me. And how about this one? It almost looks too easy. The Rams laying 7.5 at the Ravens. Ravens are hopeless. Like, am I seeing too much here? Like, I understand this is a road game and a long way for the Rams to go, but like the Ravens, their defense wasn't good to start with. It's a mash unit on that end as well. And then you have, you know, who is it? Cooper Rush at quarterback instead of Lamar Jackson. The run game's not going. Derrick Henry is not putting up good numbers. What's the case to be made for the Ravens here, other than the fact that it's just 7.5 points?
I think the case for the Ravens is at some point, you know, the market will overvalue teams facing the Ravens because Baltimore has struggled.
Right.
At some point, Cooper Rush, we've seen in the past, even though he was not good last week against the Texans, Cooper Rush is a pretty good backup quarterback. I don't think he's a starter, but when it comes to backup quarterbacks in the NFL, you could do a lot worse than Cooper Rush. So I'm not going to be surprised if he steps up and has a decent game. And then, you know, I don't know if you believe in Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh, but he is a good head coach. He hasn't been good this season, and I know he gives up all those leads, but historically he has been, I don't think he suddenly forgot how to coach, right? So
right.
I think
he's
those
not a
are your
head coach.
Right. He's not a rookie head coach. If you want to make the case, his time has come to an end in Baltimore. Okay, fine. He's still a way above average head coach. So You put all those things together and you're getting 7.5 points. I think that is probably your case for Baltimore. Is it a case I want to put my money on? No, it is not.
Is there another game that you considered here for First Impression Rose?
Yeah, there's a few here that I like. You're not going to believe this. I like your Titans getting 4.5.
Thanks.
I know. It's gross. It's not going to make you feel good. You're going to hate yourself. This opened at 6. The money has
already
come in.
Done.
I know. Here's the thing. My voice cracks. Arizona gave that game away last week. There's no question about it. But I'm not of the belief. This is about the Raiders more than anything else. So do the Titans look like a bad football team? Yes, they do. Do the Raiders? Yes. I don't think the Raiders should be laying 4.5 against anybody. This is a bad football team, too. Like, I can't believe this number isn't 3 or less if you're Vegas. This should be, if this game is at a neutral site, it should be a pick 'em. The Raiders laying 4.5? No, thank you. Like, Geno Smith has been a turnover machine this season. He's thrown more interceptions than anyone in football. The Raiders on both lines of scrimmage are awful. Their offensive line, trash. Straight trash. You can get after them. That's one of the reasons why Ashton Jeanty just has not been able to get going. He had that one good game because you can meet him in the backfield on a regular basis. Even Pete Carroll was like, yeah, this isn't very fun. I'm not enjoying myself. This is not a good time. The Raiders should not be laying 4.5 points here. So you just got to hold your nose and do it. I like the Titans plus 4.5.
Do I know?
You don't have to.
Here's the thing. I think it's different when it's your own team. And I think you can attest to this when it's like comes to the Commanders, is that I don't know if I'm overly cynical, but here's a depressing stat that they've been talking about this week. The Titans have not won back-to-back consecutive games since November of 2022.
It's terrible.
Back-to-back wins. I am not asking for a 4-game win streak. Back-to-back wins. Haven't done it since 2022. There are guys on this team that were drafted like 2023 that don't know what that feels like. That is a crazy thing. Like, think about the culture of a team that stat is attached to.
That's brutal. That is bad. I'm not picking the Titans to win, okay? Let's get that clear. By the way, when's the last time, I know you said this a couple days ago, where, what, the Titans and Panthers won on the same day, and you're a Titans fan. Jake, your husband, is a Panthers fan, so you guys both won on the same day. When is that going to happen again? Never?
Probably never. Never in our lifetime, Jenks. it looks like we have, not enough time. Maybe we'll talk about it in another segment. I was going to ask you about the Commanders. Put you in that seat. Commanders laying 4.5. What is that, the Monday night or Sunday night game?
Monday night.
Against the Bears. So that should be a good one. We'll see if that one goes the way of last year, where it actually went down to the final minutes, and then the Bears completely imploded for the rest of the season after that loss to the Commanders. All right, coming up next, time to talk some postseason baseball. We have games going all day long from 2 to 8. We'll give you our breakdown on all four games. That's next on Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Wednesday, October the 8th, here on the show. We have a full slate of baseball today, and it's not just regular season baseball matchups where you say, oh, daytime baseball. No, we get postseason daytime baseball, which is a real treat. And from a betting standpoint, it's nice to have options. Like, Jenks, we were just talking about this, I think it was like the other day or something, where I think it's easier to bet on regular season baseball games because you can go down the board and see, okay, there are clear mismatches, and say, I don't know, like the Dodgers and Twins game, as opposed to some of these postseason games where there is a reason these teams are still standing in the postseason and there is not that much of a divide between some of these teams. So it can make it more difficult to bet on these games, but there are different angles when it comes to the postseason. I know it's tricky when it comes to starting pitchers, how long they're going to stay in. And it's wild to me how much more it feels like managing matters. Like, it feels like in every single game, there is a question about the manager. And I know that when you're the manager of the New York Yankees, that there's always going to be questions that come with that. I feel like it's one of the toughest jobs in all sports. But the way that Aaron Boone has left in pitchers or pulled them too early has been a major talking point. And especially when I saw the card today, where I saw where the Phillies are going with Aaron Nola in a game that could be their last game of the season instead of Ranger Suarez. Did this surprise you?
Yeah, it's a terrible move. I think it's an awful move. This is one of those you need to take the name off the back of the jersey games. Do you know what I mean? Where, look, all things being equal, if you didn't know the numbers, you're like, you go with Aaron Nola. No, you don't. Not this season. Ranger Suarez has been infinitely better. Like, it's not even close. I'm absolutely going with the Dodgers today, and it's because of Aaron Nola. So I don't know what the thinking is. Maybe it's, oh, this guy is a veteran. He's been there. He's been clutch for us before. But the numbers are the numbers, and I'm not willing to bet on someone. It's like saying, you know, who we should trade for? Joe Flacco. He won a Super Bowl. It's like, yeah, it was a long time ago. So I'm not saying that Aaron Nola is that far away from the prime of his career, but certainly in recent history, he hasn't been good. So I was stunned by this. I did not understand it.
Yeah, he's a 6 ERA this year.
Right.
Like, he has been the definition of up and down. And so they asked Rob Thompson about this, and he said something to the effect of, okay, he's the longest tenured Philly. He is a veteran. But you could say all that stuff about Ranger Suarez. Like, maybe he's not the longest tenured Philly, but Ranger Suarez has been better in the regular season, and he's also had huge roles with the Phillies in the postseason. He even closed it out, I think, in 2022 and won these big games. So it's one of those things where it's like every bit of ammo you're using for Aaron Nola, it feels like you could use for Ranger Suarez as well. And then they're saying, oh, well, Aaron Nola had a great start to end the regular season where he had like all these strikeouts, 9 strikeouts and 1 run, but it's against the Twins.
Twins.
Oh, newsflash, you ain't facing the Twins tonight. You're facing the Dodgers. So I feel like if this does not work out in the Phillies' favor, their manager is going to have a lot of questions to answer after this game.
And honestly, I don't know why you put yourself like tenure matters. I mean, I guess if you're celebrating someone's career, you're trying to stay alive in the NLDS. And you just got to go with
it would be
who's
going
to... Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off, but like, it would be one thing if it was a rookie. You know, if you're saying, hey, this rookie has good numbers, but he's never pitched in the postseason. Ranger Suarez has been there and done that. So I feel like it's disrespect to Ranger Suarez.
I agree. And if you're Ranger Suarez, aren't you like, are you kidding me? Because you want the ball in those circumstances. Competitors always do. I get it. And it's tip of the cap to Aaron Nola. He's the longest tenured. Okay, great. Do you want to win this game or not? And so I'm like you. Okay, he looked great against the Twins, a team that absolutely quit in the second half of the season because they traded everybody away. Like, this is your sample size. This is your reasoning. He's a veteran. He looked good against Minnesota. Okay. I don't know if you've looked at the Dodgers lineup recently. It's not the Twins lineup.
It's not. Mm-mm.
Right.
I don't know how many future Hall of Famers are in the Twins lineup, but the Dodgers have 3, and it's the first 3 batters in the lineup. And that's even being, you know, not even generous. Like, there could be more in that lineup.
Yeah.
But I will say this. It does look like Ranger Suarez is going to be the next guy out of the pen. So if Aaron Nola struggles, we will see Ranger Suarez. We have heard that. But, like, I don't know. It feels like it might be too little too late. So, Jenks, let's get into this game first, since we're already talking about. All right, so it's game 3 of the NLDS between the Dodgers and the Phillies. The Dodgers lead this series 1 game. Is it 1-0? I think it's 2-0. Where the Phillies could be going home in this game if they don't start racking up some hits, because it's not just the pitching that's the question mark in this one. It's the fact that the top of the lineup for the Phillies has been absolutely disastrous. They have gotten barely any production from their top 3 big names. Like, Trey Turner, I think, is hitting 143. Bryce Harper, same thing. And even Kyle Schwarber, I don't think he's even gotten a hit yet, if I am not mistaken. So it's one of those things where it feels like all the factors are kind of going against the Phillies. But I will say this. I kind of felt this way about the Yankees last night, to where it looked like everything was kind of going against them, and they made it a comeback. Sometimes when teams are in this desperation spot, when they're backed into a corner, they'll play better. But I don't know, Jenks. I still feel like the Dodgers are the play, just because, to me, they're the more consistent team. Like, you look at Yamamoto in this situation. He is the way more consistent pitcher. A 2.49 ERA this year. I know there are bullpen issues, but I feel like Sasaki will come in to close it tonight if need be. I don't think that, you know, we're going to get cute tonight with the relieving situation. And this Dodgers lineup, I think, has gone over their team total every single game of the postseason. So I feel like, for me, it has to be the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. I think you can play the Dodgers in myriad ways here. You can back Yamamoto. You can look at the Dodgers team total here. This is just a bad spot for the Phillies, and I think the difference between the Phillies and Yankees is that the Yankees were going back home, and there's something about that atmosphere. There's something about being in front of the home crowd, and also with the way the Yankees have played, we knew at some point the bats were going to awaken, and maybe you could say that about the Phillies, but if you go back to the regular season, the Phillies bats were awesome at home, but then they would go cold on the road. Like, their splits between road and home are pretty dramatic. So if I definitely don't trust you now if you're already cold at Citizens Bank Park, and now you got to go out to LA and I expect you to heat up against Yamamoto, who has been unbelievable over the past month or two. He's allowed 2 earned runs over his last 33 2/3 innings, but now maybe the Philly bats come alive. I don't see it.
Right. I just feel like I can't make a good case for it with, like, all of the information at hand. So I'm looking at team totals, and we don't get that 3.5 that we had the other night for a solid price. I think that's minus 180, so you'd have to find either something to parlay with it. or you have to eat a lot of juice there. But Dodgers over 4.5 runs is even money. Jenks, is that the way to go, or do you go Dodgers run line? Is there another creative way to play this? Because the Dodgers on the money line is -180.
I think you probably just go over the team total here. You look at first five. You can shop around, maybe find the Dodgers on the money line at a decent price. No, you're not going to be able to. I'll look around for maybe the Yankees. I think I kind of like them tonight. I think ultimately you just find a Dodgers play and roll with it once you find a decent price here. Like, the Dodgers are hitting like crazy. They got a guy in Aaron Nola who can absolutely been hit up. Like, Aaron Nola's numbers are atrocious. Like, I can't state how bad he's been for Philadelphia. And I know it feels like I'm piling on, but I'm not. On the road this season, he's 0-6 with a 6.97 ERA. He has an ERA near 7 on the road. And now he has to go out and face the Dodgers, a hot-hitting Dodgers club? Yeah. Hit that over 4.5. I mean, yeah, he'll get pulled early. Maybe they go to Suarez, and then maybe that's how Philly keeps it close, and that's your sabotage factor. But if you're looking for a nice even-money play with the way the Dodgers are playing, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, that, or I guess if you believe in the Phillies at all, like if you think they can at least contribute to the total, maybe you go over 8, because I do believe in the Dodgers' bats. I do think they're going to score some runs. And maybe, just maybe, we will finally see some life from the Phillies' bats. Because I will say this, they are good hitters. Like, it's crazy to me that we're just seeing nothing from them. And it's not like the Dodgers have some guys out of the bullpen that can't be hit. You know, there are guys that they could get some hits off. You know, not everybody is throwing absolute gas. So we'll see. I do think if you believe in the Phillies at all, maybe you just play the over. All right, let's get to some of these other games, because we do have some good ones. All right, so tight turnaround for the Mariners and Tigers as they are the early game today. Mariners lead this series 2-1 after winning last night. Tigers favored tonight, or today, I should say, at -115, Mariners -105. Total of 8.5. Bryce Miller goes for Seattle, 4-6 with a 5.68 ERA. Casey Mize countering for the Tigers. He's 14-6 this year with a 3.87 ERA. So, Jenks, I think if I am reading between the lines on what you said earlier, the Tigers have the edge when it comes to the pitching matchup, but are you willing to trust their bats?
I really like the Tigers here. Am I crazy? I like a lot of chalk today, but this is not heavy chalk, though. This is -115, right? Yeah, so this is okay. I know people hear you're betting on the Tigers, and they cringe a little bit, and I understand that, but this is the one time. Like, this is the one time where if you're going to bet on Detroit, maybe this is it. And I will say this. Moving forward, if they win this game, like, all of a sudden, we got a tie series, and maybe Skubal takes the mound for Detroit in game 5? Like, I can't put money on Detroit. But in this game, look, Bryce Miller is going for the Mariners. And just like I was talking about how bad Aaron Nola has been for Philadelphia, Bryce Miller has not been good for Seattle, particularly on the road. He will get hit. Even the Tigers are going to score runs against him. He's given up at least 3 runs in 10 of his last 12 appearances. He hasn't allowed fewer than 2 runs in any of those starts. The Tigers have not seen him this season. I don't really think it matters. Bryce Miller is 2-3 with a 5.56 ERA. I feel like the Tigers at home with Casey Mize, who has been solid, I think he has a significant advantage over Bryce Miller. I'm going to be on the Tigers. I just talked myself into it.
Well, let me ask you this. You liked the over yesterday, and if you think that the Tigers will have a fighting chance against Bryce Miller, and Seattle has a good offense, number one across the board in all of baseball, maybe they can scratch off a couple against Casey Mize and its Detroit bullpen, you can get an over 8 for -129.
Ooh, that's not bad. Maybe that's the way to go, because both of these guys are definitely going to give up runs, I feel like. All right.
That's how I feel. I think I like that a little bit better than trusting a side. And this one, just because, again, like, it's tough. Well, I guess that goes against the over as well if you're saying it's tough to trust the Tigers lineup. But Bryce Miller does not feel like he is a lights-out pitcher. Does feel like he's going to give up some runs here. So I think that's a solid play. All right, how about these other two games? So I know you like the Yankees today, so let's go to that one, Blue Jays, yeah. Yankees. Blue Jays lead the series 2-1, but the Yankees have all the momentum. After a huge come-from-behind victory last night, Aaron Judge putting on an absolute clinic. Yankees minus 185 today, though. So, Jenks, how are you playing this one?
Well, I'm going to shop around and see. Can I find the Yankees in the money line at a palatable price? Probably not. Maybe I'll play Yankees minus one, maybe the Yankees on the run line. I just feel like that when you've got a bullpen game for Toronto going up against Cam Schlittler. I mean, Cam Schlittler has been great. I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed by the moment. We've already seen that, right? Like, last time out, he was brilliant. We saw Aaron Judge come alive yesterday. And then, even though it's a very small sample size, the Blue Jays' pen has not been good. They've given up 19 hits, 12 earned runs, and an ERA of 8.76 thus far. I think New York is alive here in this series. I think we go back to Toronto for deciding Game 5. And I'm on the Yankees. I just have to decide. Earlier today, you could get the Yankees on the money line at minus 167, but I think that is gone now. So I will probably look at them on the run line, maybe minus one.
Or if you're interested in a player prop, so Louis Varland was the guy on the mound when Aaron Judge hit that, you know, game-breaking or game-tying home run, I should say. Aaron Judge total bases today over 1.5 is minus 124.
Oh,
I feel
nice.
Like that's a pretty good look. When you have a bullpen game from the Blue Jays, Aaron Judge is hitting 500 for the postseason. 500. So even when he's not hitting those home runs, he is getting on base. So I feel like that is a solid play. Or you could do hits, runs, RBI. No, that number's a little too juicy. But I do think it's a big Aaron Judge game. Or you could go team total for the Yankees, which it's so early in the morning that we're not seeing some of these. Like, BetMGM has barely nothing. But I do think the Yankees score some runs. I'm not sure if I trust them, because I will say this. The Blue Jays have been scoring a ton of runs, too. You could probably make a solid case for the over as well. Total this one is 8.5. I bet you could get a decent price on an 8, a nice round number. We like doing that. So I do think the Yankees offense scores some runs tonight. All right, coming up next, we got to whine about it on a Wednesday. You know we love complaining. It's next on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're off. We're running. I am one coffee into this show. In a few minutes, we're going to whine about it on a Wednesday. And the fact that we get paid to complain is me achieving a lifelong goal. So you should be happy for me. All right, Jenks. So last night I was thinking this, to where there are so many great moments in sports games, they'll be left on the cutting room floor because the game, you know, changes on a dime. Like last night, I'm watching the Blue Jays game. And so Vladdy Jr. does this, like, majestic slide where he, like, dives into the air and he literally looks like Superman and he's safe at the plate and you're like, wow, this is going to be the image of the game. And then the next few innings happen. So it's wild how, like, you know, if the Blue Jays would have won the game, that would have been, like, the defining moment.
Yeah.
But I remember this from, like, my sports writing days where you're sitting there and you're on deadline. So you're like, okay, I have to write this story. And yeah, you're like, okay, it's the fifth inning. I already have my story written. You know, ready to roll.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next few innings happen, and it's like, select all, delete. Because it doesn't matter. Like, the first of the game does not matter if the game changes that much. And it's wild to me how people very soon forget that anything can happen in sports. Like, I see this all the time, and it's like, we're never going to learn our lesson to, you know, wait until the game is finally over to start celebrating. Like, I think betting will teach you this in the best of ways, to where, like, we've all been there. We're like, oh, well, you know, he has 47 yards. He just needs 48. And we have a whole half left. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to finish with 47. You're going to lose your bet by 1 yard. So I feel like no matter how many times this happens, it's like people and winter. When winter comes, as it does every single year, people are like, oh my God, it's cold.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, it literally comes every year. But it's wild to me how people never learn their lesson when it comes to thinking that the game is over when it's not.
Oh, absolutely. And I've learned this lesson numerous times where, especially now, I'm very good about saying, like, you never know. Like, you just never know. And I think it's because of sports betting. Like, it's one thing when you experience that as a fan and there's nothing on the line. And it's not like we're betting hundreds of dollars here, thousands of dollars. But there's definitely more of a propensity to think, I got this, because there's something on the line. And then you quickly realize. That's the one thing about betting that has taught me, is that you never really know. And the numbers are the numbers. And so if a game seems like it's going to be close and you think, oh, it's going to be a blowout, it's probably going to be close. Like, more often than not. And you end up realizing that even a 14-point lead, like Chiefs-Jaguars is a perfect example on Monday night, where I was in the Jags, plus 3.5. That game was 14-0 early on. And the Chiefs were dominating. And I was like, nice pick, Michael. You blew it. And I was like, well done, bro. Like, nice job. And then I turned off the game for a while, turned it back on. I was like, oh, the Jags are making this a game. And look, it doesn't always work out that way. It's just that you never really know until the final second ticks off the clock. And sports wagering will teach you that in a big way.
Right. And I think it'll teach you not to mentally already celebrate. Because I still have to do that. Like, even if I'm not telling anybody, there is a good feeling of, like, turning on the TV and seeing your team way ahead. Like, oh, this game's over. Like, let's turn it to another one. Good job, Chelsea. Great analysis. So I think that's one of the lessons that I have learned. And for the love of God, like, don't put it on the internet. Like, people do this all the time where they celebrate wins and you're like, the game's not over. And somebody is going to old takes expose you. So it can happen in the postseason. It can happen in the regular season. And listen, even at the highest levels of football, like, we still see chaos. Like, this is chaos that you think you only see in, like, Little League soccer or Maction football, but we see it all the time in the NFL, so you best be prepared. All right, so I've already whined about that, but we've got more whining to go because it is a Whine About It Wednesday.
Why talk about it when you can whine about it?
Whine, whine, whine.
Here on Whining Wednesday.
Do you want to hear whining?
On the Daily Tip.
All right, Jenks. So what sector will you be whining about today? Is it going to be home improvement? Is it going to be a corporation? Is it going to be a person who is not very good at communication? What's it going to be this week?
I'm going to complain about myself. I'm annoyed with myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cell phone.
I annoy myself on a regular basis. Like, I don't know about you, but I get on my own nerves. Like, my brain, I kind of get in my head, or I get absent-minded. I'm like, Michael, what are you doing? So yesterday, I go around the corner to the coffee shop I always go to, and I'm definitely a regular there. And so I went in, and I ordered my red eye like I always do, and then I needed some coffee, just some. They have really nice coffee, really delicious coffee from all over the world. And so I got that ground into drip coffee so we could make some in the morning. And so in the process of ordering my red eye, as soon as they saw me walk in, they started making the coffee. And normally a red eye, you know, they pour the coffee and then it takes a couple shots of espresso and it takes a little bit of time. But they started making this immediately because I'm such a creature of habit. And I was so enamored by the fact that I got it so quickly. I was like, whoa, is this red eye? And she was like, yeah. I was like, wow, that was really quick. She was like, yeah, you're regular. I knew what you're going to get. So I started making it as soon as she walked through the door. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I appreciate it. And then I was so distracted by that, I walked out and left my coffee in there that I had ground up. And so I got around the corner to my front door and I was like, way to go, Michael. Now you got to go all the way back, which was just around the corner. But I walked in and the girl was like holding the coffee and laughing. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm an idiot. So That's I'm whining about my absent-mindedness where I get distracted so quickly and I forget what I'm doing and I have to go back, you know, tail between the legs. Like, yeah, I'm the guy who ordered something and then walked out without it. So I'm whining about me.
Well, we've all been there. And I think that's the tie into, like, you know, professional sports is that we forget that these are humans. And we all make these type of mistakes all the time. Where on paper, you're like, I'd never do that. And, like, I've done this before where I've driven off without my credit card. And, you know, the drive-thru person's just sitting there like, and you have to make the dumb loop around and, like, pull parallel park next to the person who's parked at the window. And, like, I forgot my credit card. And, like, this idiot. But for me, what I'm going to complain about is the fact that for some reason, in this day and age, kids have fall break. Jenks, let me know if you've heard of this, where we get a full week off, Sumner County Schools, and a random week in October. I don't remember this. Like, I remember getting off, like, maybe 2 or 3 days for Thanksgiving. But, like, what is this even for? And I'm not saying that, like, I'm complaining that I have to hang out with my kid, but it's definitely throwing a wrench in my plans where I normally get mom time during the day. And instead, we're watching Gabby's Dollhouse, which we did go see the movie. And Blake really enjoyed it. But did you have a fall break growing up? I feel like this is relatively new.
No, not at all. So that's not something I have. Fall break. That sounds amazing.
A full week.
That's incredible. Fall break. No. I mean, you get days off for Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever. But fall break? These kids, man, they got it so easy. I don't know. Yeah,
well,
I know. That's not something I experienced.
So easy. In the fact that they set you up to think that life is like this. You're like, oh, I can't wait till summer. Summer's amazing. You don't have to do anything. No, you absolutely have to work in the summer and absolutely nothing stops. I feel like that is a lie that is perpetuated throughout your younger years where you're like, oh, well, you don't work on holidays, right? And it's like, no, you're going to work on like five Christmases in a row and you're going to eat your Christmas meal from a vending machine. Strawberry Pop-Tarts and a Diet Coke. Merry Christmas.
Wasn't it like that too, especially, and has been, continues to be, in broadcasting, right? Like, you know how this goes, right?
Yeah.
If you're trying to make your way in the business and you start off as a reporter or a weekend anchor, and what do you want to do? You want to be on the desk Monday through Friday. You want to host the shows during the week. And then you finally get to the 10 o'clock shows, and then you get to do that unlike Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? When the main person is like, guess what? I'm taking time off at your time. I'm like, awesome. Oh, I work Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? Great. Like, that's the one. Your time to shine is always on the holidays.
Yeah, the worst part for me is that, like, I was always, like, the lowest ranking person. Like, so it's, like, always me. Or at my first job, I was the only person in the sports department. I was a one-man band sports department because that's all they would have money for. So it was great that I was the Monday through Friday person, but they literally had no fill-in for me. So they, like, guilt-tripped me. They're like, well, we don't have another sports person. And when you're 22, you're like, oh, well, like, that's on me, right? No, do not let these people gaslight into, you know, thinking it's your fault that they didn't hire enough people.
For sure. I know I said this story before, but when I was in graduate school and I don't know why I went out, drove out to Odessa, Texas, which is, I mean, it took me, God, 6-7 hours one way just to go out there. I wanted to interview, and I knew I probably wasn't going to take the job. I wanted to finish my degree, but they had one guy in the office, and he was, like, begging me to take the job. He's like, do you want to work here? You should come work here. I've worked 36 days straight. This guy looked like he was on the edge, like he'd worked more than a month just, like, carrying the sports department. Like, talk about people who had not, or a station that had not hired enough people, and that was a perfect example.
They will absolutely use and abuse you. So, like, don't let them do it. All right. So, Dan sent us a text earlier in the week that...
Oh, yeah.
Where he complained, he compared taking a Pilates class to war. So, then get in here.
And
why
my
is
body
so difficult?
My body is feeling it right now. I'm complaining about me as well. So, I'm in the same boat as Jenks. I am feeling places on my body with soreness that I have not felt. I didn't know they existed. I didn't know I could get sore on the side of my body. Not the obliques, but like the actual side of the body. Didn't know that was possible. There are areas in my neck that are sore. Didn't know it was possible. Now, it's like a fun sore. It's not like a I hate my life sore. It's like a, hey, I did something hard sore. but it's also proof that my body is failing me. It's not that I thought I was in excellent shape. I look at myself in the mirror on a regular basis. I can tell I'm not. However, I did think I was in better shape than I am, and I took one Pilates class, and now I'm basically a deceased human that's walking.
Yes, to the throes of war. I think it's not the fact that, like, you'd be out of shape. I think it's just when you do something different. When you do something different that your body's not used to, like, you're going to respond to that and you're going to be sore just because it's something your muscles have not been worked on for. So I don't think it's a case of you being out of shape. I think it's just something different.
Yeah, that's true. But good on you for taking Pilates. I mean, I've been wanting to do that forever and just have not stepped up and done it.
It is challenging. As somebody who lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, that was like the local hobby of all the baseball wives. So I have done many a Pilates class. All right, coming up next, hour three of the show, our biggest takeaways from the big games last night, including the Yankees' thrilling come-from-behind victory at the hands of Aaron Judge. Next on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.